Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
No, folks, that does not mean that only celibates make it into the kingdom. After all, you know St. Peter was a married man. This rather refers to what St. Paul was talking about when he told the Corinthian Christians, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ."
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Well, last time we met the third member of that unholy Trinity, a second beast, this time arising from the earth, and with the appearance of a lamb. But when he opened his mouth, out came the talk of the dragon. And this second beast exercised authority of the first beast, and did so in its presence. Remember how the fathers of the Reformation identify this second beast with the rise of the papacy and the claims it would come to make. Through the papacy, the wound of Rome's fall was healed. And with great signs mimicking Pentecost, the beast practiced deception, teaching idolatry, and inflicting economic hardships and persecutions on any who would not receive the mark of loyalty to the beast on the right hand or on the forehead. Finally, recall that we were given that mysterious number 666 or 616 that we lack the exact key to decipher. A reading from Revelation, the 14th chapter, beginning at the first verse. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as firstfruits for God and the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. Revelation 14, verses 1 to 5. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, are you ready to dig into this new chapter of Revelation? Let's do this. Verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000, who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Whiplash, right? From the terrors of the dragon and his two servants, Beast 1 and Beast 2, and the call for perseverance and endurance, then suddenly you get a view of something very different. Only it's not different, people loved by God. It's just looking at the mystery of the suffering church from the perspective of her inner life. First, Mount Zion. You know that, of course, from the Psalms, right? Think of Psalm 133, verse 3. It's like the dew of Hermon which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Or maybe even better, remember the words of Hebrews 12, verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. You have come, not you will come. Already here in the church, in each local assembly, when we gather together in the name of Jesus, around his words and his Eucharist, we're actually all standing together on Mount Zion. This is the place where the Lord has commanded his servants to dish out his blessing, and that blessing is life forevermore, life without end. So, in the midst of all the turmoil and persecution of the church in the world, John's revelation reminds us of the church's true and unperturbed inner life. And do you remember that the number 144,000 was the number he initially heard, but then when he saw the multitude beyond number? Johann Gerhardt, that Lutheran scholar of the 17th century, notes, this number signifies the great multitude of believers. And he refers us back to what we learned in Revelation 7. The beast had a mark it insisted on placing on the right hand and the forehead. But in this, it was just copying the Lamb. For the Lamb has sealed his own with the sign of his cross, not by accident as one of the first acts of the baptismal liturgy from ancient days. The sign of the cross is traced on forehead and heart to mark a person as one of those redeemed by Christ the crucified. That is, by Christ, the Lamb of God. Verse 2. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. The sound of heaven's praise sweeps down from the vision of the Lamb and his own upon Mount Zion. It sounds like the roar of many waters, the sound of loud thunder, but it's sweet and calm and peaceful like the sound of harpists playing. So a huge, loud sound. But a sound that is filled with loud peace. And of course, harps should remind you of the singing of King David and his psalms. Verse 3. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who have been redeemed from the earth. So, while the wicked are kept busy with the blasphemy of God, the preoccupation of the church is to be singing her new song. And the new song is new because it sings of him who is making all things new, Revelation 21, verse 5. And have you ever thought about the church's song? I mean, how it's grown and grown and grown across the centuries, praising him in every language and tongue, proclaiming the great things Jesus has done for us by his incarnation, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his current mighty rule, and what will happen at his final appearing. So it kind of cracks me up that when modern secularist types want to not allow the singing of Christian music in public schools and such, well, they're in a horrible quandary because, of course, Jesus and his redemption has been the overwhelming inspiration and theme of all Western music since the arrival of Christianity on the scene. Christians sing like no one else ever had because, as the redeemed, we have a redeemer that we get to proclaim. And I love that this joy of the redeemed song is something that not even the angels get to participate in. Only those who have been bought by the Lamb's blood can stand and sing aloud of how precious that redemption is. Verse 4. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. No, folks, that does not mean that only celibates make it into the kingdom. After all, you know St. Peter was a married man. This rather refers to what St. Paul was talking about when he told the Corinthian Christians, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." Hence, Caesarius of Arles, who presided over the famous Council of Orange in 529, clarifies, "In this passage, we do not understand the virgins to be only those who are chaste in the body. Rather, we have especially in mind the whole church that holds to the pure faith." Gerhardt concurs, This verse refers to those who did not pollute themselves through spiritual adultery and fornication, that is, through idolatry, heresies, and false forms of worship. Instead, they preserved the purity of doctrine and kept it uncontaminated. And notice how the Lamb simply sets their course. They follow him wherever he goes. Their only desire is just to be with Jesus, to sing to him, to serve him. And sometimes he leads them through some thorny ways, through the valley of the shadow of death. But they don't fear as they go along, as long as he, their shepherd, is with them. As we sing, Jesus, lead thou on till our rest is won. Heavenly leader, still direct us, still support, console, protect us, till we safely stand in our fatherland. Continuing, these have been redeemed from mankind as firstfruits for God and the Lamb. Redeemed from mankind, that is, rescued from the great rebellion against the triune God. Firstfruits runs with offerings. So through the Lamb, they are offered up to God as an acceptable sacrifice. James writes of this in his first chapter. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of firstfruits of his creatures. The word of truth brings them forth, that is, gives them a new spiritual birth. And as a result, they become joyous truth speakers. Hence, verse 5, and in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. They know the lies of Satan, and they allow those lies to find no home in their mouths. Instead, they proclaim to any and all the wondrous truths they have heard from Jesus. And that truth, above all, is this, that we are indeed blameless. For Christ has justified us, as St. Paul reminded the Ephesian Christians, Ephesians 5. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Imagine that, you without blemish in the eyes of God. And that's how you truly are, because of the washing of water with the word. You're among those who, as we read in Revelation 7, verse 14, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Satan, the great deceiver, is also, remember, the great accuser. He loves to find fault. But the Christian is called to speak the joyous truth to others, the truth we sing before the Lamb. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds and these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Fully absolved through these I am from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. And on that joyful note, we'll call our halt for today, people loved by God. Next up, we'll hear the messages of three angels. The first telling us to fear God and give him alone the glory. The second telling us that Babylon the Great has fallen, the city that made the nations drink the wine of her impurity. And then a third angel announcing that anyone who worships the beast and receives its sign will drink down the cup of God's wrath and be tormented in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. Thus, the saints are called again to endurance and to keep their faith in Christ and to remember that the dead who die in the Lord are blessed indeed. Till we meet again, my friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.